Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thanks for being with me here today as we talk about your messaging and your plan. What does your message say about your plan? What are the things that you put out in the world? Maybe it's your words, your books, your signature talk, the things that are your messaging. How does that show the world who you are and what your plans are in the world? How are you planning to live your now? How are you planning to live your future? And what are the kind of things that you're doing to share who you are now with the world and make the things that you want to do in the future possible now? You see, we have to have a plan, and we need a message that helps us get from here to there. We need a plan that goes along with our message to help us be able to make the difference that only we can make in this world and live as a thriving entrepreneur. Thanks so much for being with me here today. I'm so grateful to have you. I appreciate you so, so much. I am so glad for every time we get to be together here on the radio as we talk about all of the ways that you can thrive in your life and your business. You are the reason why I do this. I've often said that doing the show is my guilty pleasure, and I'm so blessed with all the people that I get to meet and all the ones that are part of the show and all of my friends and all of you, the listeners who come in every week to listen to what we have to say and to learn more about being a thriving entrepreneur. I want to ask you again the question, what does your message say about your plan? In other words, what are you putting out into the world? Now, that could be as esoteric as, you know, the kind of things that you're thinking and saying and putting out there. I mean, if you say I can or you say you can't, whichever you say, you're right. So even from that level, you need to have that messaging be propelling you towards the things and the you that you want to be and that you're called to be as you show up in this world. And then from there, or with that, I should say more rather, is that you need a plan. You need a plan for today. How can I maximize while it's called today? And then you need a plan for the future. You need to know, this is who I am today. This is the things I'm doing right now. But then also, this is when I plan to retire. This is the kind of things I want to do in my retirement. Or, you know, maybe you're kind of like me. I'm not sure that I'm really planning on retiring. I have lots of cool things I want to do, but I'm going to continue writing books and helping people and sharing other people's message with the world. As long as I have life and breath, I'm going to take up the message of maximizing while it's called today. It's such an incredibly cool thing to be able to do, and I love bringing the show to you and meeting with you every week. And so I ask you, as you listen to these three very diverse and yet somehow similar people talking and sharing with you their message and sharing with you in that the plans that they have for their life, their business, and also for your life, your business, and your future, and see what kind of things you can glean from that, the kind of message that you can come up with, that you can have from it, that helps you then be able to have the plan that makes the difference in your world, and more importantly, makes the difference for the people that you're meant to serve as you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. And with that said, I'm excited to jump right into it. Let's talk to our first guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming John Mack. Hey, John, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Steve. How about you?
I'm really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, so I'm 34. I'm a father of two. I do blue collar work. I love to write. I've been writing for a very, very long time, and I just recently, started kind of putting myself out there with it and allowing my work to help other people that are kind of going through similar things that I've gone through or I am going through. And I love being able to help others. That's what's one of my greatest life passions is helping other people. So it's been something that I've thoroughly enjoyed doing, and it's definitely been a good way for me to kind of, mediate every day's life challenges.
And your book is called Ravens of Desolation. Love that name. Really cool cover too, actually. And it's just you bearing your soul via poetry of all the kind of things, good stuff, falling in love, deeply painful things, all of those just kind of bared out there. How long ago did does this, what kind of time frame in your life does the poetry cover?
I'm sorry, I think we may have cut out there a little bit.
Yeah, I was asking, how far back in your life does the poetry cover for you? I mean, how far back do we go?
I mean, honestly, it goes back to when I was a early teenager. When I was young, I had a very rough life growing up. Both of my parents were disabled, and my dad was an alcoholic, and he wasn't always the kindest person, and love him dearly. I mean, he definitely is a big factor in the man I became today because, even though we didn't have the best relationship, a lot of what I saw and what he did though reflects how I am today. He always was there no matter what, even though, behind closed doors things weren't great, but in public everything was always fine, which is pretty typical. But I mean, it definitely helped cope and kind of form my writing. So I write about everything. I write about life, love, death, suicide, you name it. I basically have written about it at some point in time. And then pretty much my entire life has just been about pain. I was married for 10 years. Then in the last 16 years, I've been with two people, and I've never really found the love or the connection that I've been looking for, and that also goes into my writing. So there's a lot of factors that go behind it, and I really hope that the people that get to read it, the audience, that they can relate to it, and that it can help them and their journey as well.
I totally love that. Sometimes in the sharing of the realness of our lives, we can both empower ourselves the most, but we also help the others the most.
Absolutely.
And I really do hope that for you. Do you have a favorite poem out of all the ones that you included in there?
I'd say my favorite poem. It's called Heartbreak. It's fairly long. It's on my social media, my TikTok, Ravens of Desolation. I think I'm up to a little over 150,000 views on it. And that's probably one of the most meaningful ones that I've ever written. It encapsulates a lot into it. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of emotion that went behind there, and it really gives. I think it really gives a window into my soul.
We appreciate how just open you've been with all of the things in your writing. So, what's next for you now that your book's out? Are you going to continue writing more poetry, or are you thinking other things, or what would you like to do next?
I'm definitely gonna keep writing. I mean, since the manuscript, everything had been sent over, and and the book was in the works of being published and released, I've probably wrote another two dozen poems. So I would expect within the next couple of months, I'll probably be ready to launch another book.
That's amazing. So, talk to us a little bit about your day-to-day life. I mean, do you have a regular time that you do writing, or does it just kind of like now, you're in the car and something hits you and you have to pull off to the side of the road and write something? How does it work for you?
Yeah, so like I said, I do work full time, and a lot of the times though, throughout the day while I'll be working, something will hit me, and like I might be talking to somebody and they'll say something that kind of just it resonates with me, and then I'll just remember it, and then like when I take a lunch or if I take a couple minute break, I'll pull out the phone and I'll jot down my thoughts on it, and then when I get home, I have a book that I write in pretty frequently, so I'll do that. So yeah, my writing could be at any point in time. I mean, I don't sleep a lot. I average about 2 to 3 hours a day. So I mean, I write all the time. Any time that something's going on, whether it's with my life or my kids. I'm a single dad. I have my kids. 50% of the time, sometimes a little bit more. And so if there's something going on with them, I try to encompass that into it too. I mean, my oldest son, he's an amazing little man. He's 9 years old, and he's very wise for his years. But he's a typical 9-year-old. He has anger issues. He doesn't know how to exactly get his emotions out. So, while we do various activities together, a lot of conversations, so I can help him, mold and learn how to express himself in a productive way. Like recently I just got him a little journal for him to write in as well, and I'm hoping that something will come out of it. I mean, he's incredibly smart, very talented, and I think that it's going to help him too. So who knows, maybe the lineage will carry on, and he'll take over as an author like me.
Oh, I totally love that. And tell us, where does the phrase, the name, the whatever, Ravens of Desolation, where did that come from for you?
Honestly, I'm not really sure. I kind of just like the name, but I also resonate a lot with like Nordic deities and whatnot. I kind of, I'm bald, big beard. I'm a bigger guy, covered in tattoos, and I get told I look like a Viking a lot, and I guess it just kind of ravens are a big part of the Viking culture. And I just kind of one day I was just thinking about it, and it was one of those ones that just hit me, and I was like, wow, Ravens of Desolation, I love it. And then I've just kind of stuck with it since then. So
Well, it is an amazing phrase. I love it. Originally, when I heard it, I thought immediately of, the desolation of Smaug, and I was like, yeah, I think Tolkien would be okay with that one.
yeah.
I love it. So, what can people do to interact with you? I mean, obviously, get the book, and I will put the link for the book here in the link in the post. But what are some other things that people can find on your website or those kind of things that they can do to interact with you?
Yeah, so I mean, they can always email me at ravensofdesolation@gmail.com. TikTok, they can find me. There's a Facebook page that I started recently. I haven't used it too much yet, but I definitely will be in the near future. Kind of getting my writing out a little bit more, because I ultimately my goal is to help as many people as possible. Because everyday life, the challenges that we face, the trials and tribulations, they are all just beating us down. And there has to be an outlet for some people, whether it be writing or horseback riding, which is where I'm at currently. I'm sitting in my truck. I'm out at the farm. I'm going to take the horses out here shortly. It's just that there has to be something for everybody. And I'm hoping that with my work, with my poetry, that people can use it instead of turning to something that's darker. Admittedly, I still struggle with my demons. There's a lot of times where life just really, really just wants to kick you, and every day I wake up and I continuously find reasons to stay around, and my writing is one of the biggest ones, apart from my kids. Obviously, my kids are the number one factor that keep me here, but ultimately, the writing is really what it grounds me. It keeps me focused, and it allows me to remember that no matter what, there's always a better way. I can put those feelings out on a piece of paper. I can go outside. I can go to the gym. I can do whatever. But for me, writing it down has always been one of the best ways for me to cope with everything that's going on, because then at some point in time, you're more than likely going to experience that same thing again in a different capacity, but the message will still be there. So being able to go back to my book and or my journal or my phone and just kind of going, hey, like, yeah, you've been through this, but it's okay. This is how you felt about it before. And then I can, reflect on that. I can say, yeah, I still feel that way. Or, granted, yeah, at this moment, I feel like crap, but I know I'm going to get better, and ultimately everything's going to be okay.
I absolutely love that. Well, the book is called Ravens of Desolation. It is available today in ebook form for free on Amazon. The link is both in the description, up in the description, or down in the comments, either way. And I do hope that you'll get it. John, thanks so much for your writing, and thanks for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Raw, real, open, honest, and really good poetry too. Something that I hope you will listen to, you'll read, you'll enjoy, and you'll really take to heart, so that you then can hear the message that John shares, that is the heart and soul and core of who he is, so that you can then be able to tie that into the words that you speak, the things that you write, the stuff that you put out into the world, so that you too can have that strong messaging of how powerfully cool and important you are in this world. And then you can use that to help you reach the plans that you have in life. And you can live as a thriving entrepreneur, because I want that for you. And I hope you're headed there towards that in everything that you do in life. With that said, let's take our first commercial break here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. We're talking about, what does your message say about your plan? Do you have a message that is propelling you towards the things that you want, need, and should be doing in life? And do you have a plan that you're enacting in your life and in your business? Are you putting the words and along with the deeds to be able to really get to the place that you need to do? And how do you do that? Now, sometimes we need help with that. Sometimes we need somebody to help us formulate the plan. Sometimes we need people to help us understand the messaging that we have with it. And all of those are the kind of things that go together. In that first segment, we were listening to John sharing his heart from poetry, and how in that, he shares the message that is the core of who he is and how he shows up in the world with the world. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be able to show up as the best version of yourself, make the difference that only you can make in the world, and really share the cool stuff that is you with the world. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing you do. And when I talk about what is your message, that's what I'm thinking is, your book your signature talks, all of those kind of things, so that you then can have a message that, propels you towards your plan. We're going to talk a little bit more about your plan in a minute, but next we want to talk a little bit more about the you that is you and how you can determine that and then share that out into the world so that you can have that really powerful message. So with that said, let's jump right in to our next guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Hunter Thomas. Hey, Hunter, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to, you know, be here with you. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have connected with you. And so what I do is I have my own PR agency, and I'm a couple months in. You know, I have a couple years of experience with PR, and that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm really passionate about helping great entrepreneurs be heard and be seen. And I'm also a journalist. So I do that through writing and helping others grow their personal brand and getting connected to do podcast opportunities and anything to do with media.
Oh, I absolutely love that. So for somebody that doesn't know what a PR agency is, give us an idea of what that is and what it's like.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't know what a PR agency is first of all, it's definitely it's a learning curve. So it's similar to marketing. So anything to do with press is considered PR. So, you know, I help a lot of people get written about. So there's three different types of articles. There's press releases, there's thought leadership articles, and there's articles called profile pieces or company pieces that initially tell the story of your company or you know, your personal story of your come up. So it's great because there's a lot of online magazines and as regular like physical magazines as well. So when you think of getting in top tier press, that's what I help people do. And there's a lot of benefits to that, right? So, you know, specifically helping with your SEO, if there's an article out about you and your website is linked, you know, to that article, then initially that is tied in with Google and it'll help you pop up before your competitors. And it's really growing your personal brand.
Absolutely love that. So, you know, a lot of times we see articles about people. And of course, obviously, if it's a huge celebrity or an athlete or something like that, we've known about them. But sometimes we see articles that are of somebody you've never ever heard of, and they're talking about all these amazing things they do. How much of that is real and how much of that is spin that somebody like you does for them?
Well, that's a great question. You know, depending on the person, right, and the journalist, there's going to be some spins on it 100% without a doubt. But the thing with me is I really enjoy. So when I get a client, we'll do about an hour long call. It's called a brand strategy call. And what that call consists of is me and my team diving deep into that entrepreneur's story, you know, and that really gives our team and myself about 3 months of writing content for that client. And it really helps me to be able to, you know, resonate with their story and, you know, make sure whatever I write is true. And unfortunately, there's different people out there who will put too much of a spin on things, as I'm sure a lot of people know, but I like to keep it, I just like to keep it as real as possible, right? So that's kind of what I do, how I think.
I totally love that. You know, so you've been running the agency here for about 3 years, but you've been doing this for quite a while now. What got you interested in journalism and in public relations and stuff like that?
Great question. So I've been in the PR world for about, you know, 3 years, but I've had my own agency just for a few months. And what got me interested in that is actually my wife. So my wife has her own PR agency, and we just got married about a year and a half ago, and we met just 2 years ago. And before I met her, I didn't even know what PR was, right? And I'd always hear her talking about it after her work day. And I slowly, because it's a learning curve, started to learn about PR and just the power of press. And I soon realized, you know, how powerful the press is And I remember before I kind of was interested, I was just sitting down with a buddy at a restaurant, and we were talking about how Las Vegas is a great powerhouse for golf, right? Because the weather. And I looked up the best golf courses in the United States, and like that is the power of PR. So the article with the top 10 golf courses came right up, and it just hit me like, wow, media really makes a big difference. It can really help you grow your personal brand and help you get more clients. And that was just kind of before I got into the PR world, but a big realization that I had. And but I learned it from my wife. Everyone was always asking me about her, like, hey, I heard you got married, and I'm obviously tell them about her. And every time I would say that she does PR, it would be like people would be like, whoa, what is that? It's just very unique. I feel like you don't hear of a lot of people doing PR, right? It was just unique. So that's what kind of made me stick with it. It's just the unique part of it.
Now I'm dying of curiosity. How does your wife feel about you having started your own agency?
A great question. That she's very supportive. One thing about my wife is she's very supportive, and I have a lot of questions and I can always turn to her, and she's very kind and will help me out and will give me advice. And I'm kind of stubborn sometimes and don't really listen, but she's very kind and will give me a lot of great advice. I'm very grateful for her, but it was kind of the last thing she was expecting, to be honest. Once I ran the idea kind of by her, she was like, hey, I'm gonna let you do what you need to do. I trust you, I believe in you. And her support has just powered me through a lot of the difficult days of being an entrepreneur. So she's just very supportive.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, what's some of the fun kind of projects that you've worked on?
Yeah. So, I love fitness, right? In my personal life, I run ultra marathons. I'm a bow hunter. I love archery, and I just love, anything to do with fitness. And some of the clients that I've been able to work with consist of coaches in the health industry, and specifically helping others with their mindset. So a lot of self-improvement material. So, as I'm, getting more clients, I would say, a lot of my clients are in the health industry, whether that's doctors, coaches, just mentors. That's the direction I'm heading in. And I'm most passionate about anything to make you more healthier. So that includes, medical spas, ice baths, that longevity type of thing is the direction that I'm heading in.
Perfect. That's cool. So you do the interview for about an hour, get an hour, get about 3 months worth of content for them, and then you write the articles and you're just kind of out there pitching it to different newspapers and magazines and things like that. Is that basically the concept of how it works?
Yeah, great. Yeah. That's the concept with it. When you work with a PR agency, you have to basically put aside about an hour, every single week. And every week you need to be reading the articles that your PR agency does for you and approve them. So typically I help clients get about anywhere from 4 to 5, wins. During if they work with me for 3 months, like every single month, I'll help them get 4 to 5 wins. And that's any type of article that's going out, that's being placed on a great popular publication. So initially it all starts with a brand strategy call. That's about an hour. The call's recorded, I take notes, and every single week there's articles sent to them. But yes, to answer your question, there's a lot of pitching, nonstop pitching, reaching out to editors, building relationships with the editors of these publications. And if you have to get a lot of no's before you get a lot of yeses sometimes. And it's there's a funny saying that my wife will always say is you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you get to the prince. And I mean, that's how sales is, but that's how pitching for PR is, sending a long detailed paragraph and the credibility of your client to that, editor or other journalist who writes for that big popular publication, and just saying, hey, these are the reasons why, my client would be a good fit. This is what they've done. And it's just an honor to be able to work with these entrepreneurs that have achieved so much in their life. I really love what I do, and just the feeling of helping someone be heard and be seen is something that, brings me a lot of fulfillment, and I really love what I do.
I totally love that. So you told us what kind of people you like to work with. Tell us what it takes to work with you.
Yeah, so what it, what it takes to work with me is, just being willing to read these articles, being a little bit patient. If you read an article and something isn't right, just being, I guess, kind and willing to just dedication, to be honest. When I get a client, I want to hit the ground running. I want to get them as many articles as possible. I want to pitch them all day, and I want them to feel comfortable. So I would just honestly say dedication, taking that 1 hour every week to read through the articles and to making sure everything is as good as it can be, because once these articles get out, it's sometimes hard to take them down. So I would say mainly dedication and just trust, being willing, just trust me, trust my team that, we're gonna work as hard as possible for you. And just to make sure I can really build that trust with clients, I will send out a weekly email, hop on calls every 2 weeks just to make sure that, everything is still aligning with their goals for these next couple months. So, I always tell my clients what I'm doing for them every single week, and the wins of the week, the losses. So kind of like an inventory system. And yeah, so I would say, have trust and just be dedicated, and kindness is always good too, a little bit of patience.
I love it. Tell us where a person can go if they would like to work with you.
Yeah, if they want to work with me, they can go to my website. It's hunterspr.com, or my Instagram is Hunter Shanoth, so my last name is kind of unique, so just Hunter Shanoth. And I don't know, send me a message. I'm very responsive, or my email is also kind of tied in with my Instagram. It's just hunterchenoth@gmail.com.
You might want to spell Chenoff for us just so that we get it right.
Yeah, so last name Chynoweth.
I love it. Well, before I let you go, give us some words of encouragement about how much doing some PR could do to help improve your company.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, a couple of reasons, a couple of things that PR could do for your company is, it'll help people resonate with your story. So I think something, as we humans resonate with, is when we read stories, those tend to like resonate with us a little bit better than just, I don't know, reading a bunch of things. Like as kids, we love stories. So when people are able to read about your company and they're able to resonate with the story, chances are they're going to remember your company. And there's a lot of studies out that once people make that emotional connection with your company, they're going to want to, stay loyal to that. So a couple of things that PR can do for you is help, your readers and your target audience really resonate, learn who you are, and just really see, what separates you from other competitors in your industry. So it all comes down to exposure, right? Everyone wants to be the Starbucks, of their niche. But in order to do that, you need to have a strong online presence, and we're living in a digital world here today, and online presence is everything. So if you're looking to stand out in the crowd, I would say PR would be worth considering, if you want people to resonate with your story and learn more about you and why you started. I think it's a great vehicle to really grow your online presence, and a lot of it, will tie into SEO on Google. So there's a lot of value, right? And what I love about PR is that when people read these stories and you really get out there, you're able to inspire a lot of people. You're able to inspire them and what you've been through and what you're doing. And you never know who's going to read those articles. A young person who is going through something might read that article, and that will, shift something in their brain and make them make that next step to one day wanting to be an entrepreneur and changing their family forever. So I'd say those are a few of the benefits to doing PR in this digital world.
Amazing. Well, Hunter, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate you.
An agency that can come in and interview you and talk to you and get to know who you are and then help you be able to share that out into the world, to have a solid signature talk, to have a message that is solid and consistent and is something that people can know, oh yeah, that's who this person is. That's what they're about. That's who they are and what they do. It's so important. It's so useful to be able to really change the world in the way that you're meant to really be able to make that difference that only you can make. You need to plan on using, having that message, creating it, honing it, crafting it. And then have a plan for how you're then going to share it. The message is only as good as you actually share it with somebody else. If you just have this amazing message, great story, wonderful come from, kind of life, and then you don't share it with the world, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference, does it? And I want everybody to know how amazingly, incredibly cool you are. And so that's why we're talking today about. What does your message say about your plan, and how can you use that to live as a thriving entrepreneur? So, with that said, let's take our next commercial break here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about what your message is saying about your plan. What does your message say about your plan? Do you have a well-crafted message? Do you have a plan? And that's what we're going to talk about now. We shared you a vision of somebody's message, and that's where we started things off. And then we talked to you about how you can get help or you can craft your message. And now we want to talk about your plan, and we want to jump all the way ahead to that rocking chair moment, to at the end of your life, sitting in your rocking chair after everything's gone by and you're looking back at your life. What was the plan that you had? How did you get to here? I mean, there's the financial aspect of that. There's also the life plan aspect of that. And when we start looking about at our estate planning and at our end of life kind of stuff, that having a message that carried us through and allowed us to enact that plan is so powerful. It really is one of the most key elements in how we show up and how we live and how we thrive in all that we do. So with that said, let's jump into our last guest of this episode here on Thriving entrepreneur.
Join me in welcoming Taylor Willingham. Hey, Taylor, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
So first off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
I'm an estate planning, elder law, and probate attorney in Texas, and I help people that are trying to kind of figure out the end goal of what they want everything to work out and how they want everything to handle in their life.
Now, do you work only exclusively with folks in Texas, or do you work pretty well around the world?
No, I work mostly with people in Texas. I do have people that for some things I can help outside of the state of Texas, but there's a lot of things that I just cannot do, or I better put that I shouldn't do because, different state laws are different. And so I keep it pretty much to Texas, what the people that I help out with.
So we will try to keep the basics then when we talk about things like estate planning and stuff like that. What is, in your opinion, the number one first thing that everybody should have, regardless of what age they are?
So, our general advice almost anywhere you go is that you should make sure that you have a will because everybody needs the document to basically state where your property goes when you pass away and who should be in charge. The other documents that follow that are your incapacity documents, like a power of attorney, medical, and a durable power of attorney. Those documents to help you out if you can no longer help yourself.
And I think most people are familiar with a will, but let's just talk about some basics. If you don't have a will, what happens?
So, of course, every part of the world has laws structured to handle property after people pass away. So we in Texas, we call our laws that if you don't have an estate plan put together, intestacy laws. So that is what distributes your property. Every area will have some type of rules or an order of people, whether it's going to be the government or family or whatever organization that's going to take your property if you don't put something together.
Okay. And then the durable power of attorney that comes even beforehand. Is that one of those kind of things? I know there are some people that are afraid that if they give their power of attorney that, the person's going to steal all their stuff or all those kind of stuff that you see on TV shows and stuff like that. I mean, really, how likely is that?
Well, first off, it can happen. It's happened before. It's rare in the sense that most of the time, if someone's going to use your power of attorney, that the bank or title company or anybody is going to try to reach out to you to figure out what's going on. They're going to require some kind of evidence to show a disability or a reason why you're acting as the power of attorney. It is rare for something to happen. It can happen. The bigger fear, though, is becoming disabled and the wrong person coming in and taking your property because you don't have a power of attorney. So that's a more likely scenario to happen.
Now, is there a difference between just a general power of attorney and then the more medically related power of attorney?
Yeah, so we have the medical power of attorneys. Every state calls them different, kind of what they are, but one is to handle your person, you, like, if you end up in a nursing home, what nursing home are you going to be at? What medical decisions can be made for you? A durable power of attorney is someone that's going to be acting more to handle financial needs. Now, it can also be non-financial needs like signing contracts or different things like that, but mostly it's financial situations that they're going to be dealing with.
Okay, well, that makes total sense. So, we get all of those in place, and then life changes. Children get older, we get divorces, things like that. How much is involved in getting those changed?
Usually it's not that, well, it depends. Divorce usually causes a significant change in structuring things, because people usually have their ex-spouse on things. And so it's making sure the ex-spouse doesn't inherit from your property, getting them off so they don't have the rights to make certain decisions, like your financial decisions. So there are very important things to do in certain scenarios. Kids growing up, people don't realize, hey, once your kid turns 18, you don't get to make their medical decision anymore if they become incapacitated. You need a medical power of attorney over your 18-year-old for that to happen. And so certain life events definitely cause significant changes. Most of the time when people are coming in, though, little changes, there's not much that needs to be done to, you know, tweak a little thing to fix it. So it, everything that you want to happen happens.
So then you go to a lawyer like yourself to get this stuff taken care of. What kind of things do you need in place before they show up at your office to get those drawn up or contact you on the internet or however it works these days?
Yeah. So our biggest thing is that I want to know is, first, I need to kind of understand your family structure, how your family's structured, what's going on. And then make sure you're explaining your family to your attorney. The second part is knowing your assets and what you have. And you'll be surprised how many people show up and they're like, I don't know. I have a retirement account somewhere, you know. And yeah, you know, those are the things that you want to go look at, make sure that you know what you have in place, because the attorney that's, if they're a good estate plan attorney, they're going through and they're going to give you recommendations for things that they see where you should maybe fix something. Example would be, you come in, you have a kid that has special needs. So you want to tell, I have a child that has special needs. Well, that's very important for the attorney to know how to structure your estate plan. But also when someone says that, I'm looking at their financial situation to go, do we have enough assets here to fund certain things for this, you know, child that has special needs or some kind of structure like that.
That makes perfect sense. What is the biggest mistake that you found that people make when it comes to their future planning, their estate planning, all of that kind of stuff?
A lot of it is not doing everything that you're supposed to do in order to save some money right now. So a lot of people will go to an estate planning attorney or go and try to start, you know, drafting up their estate plan stuff online. And they don't want to spend the money that's necessary to actually get everything in order or actually execute and put everything in order. And so it's not completing everything. The realization that people need to have is usually, almost always in my experience, is when you're doing your estate plan, in the long run, it saves you money because you're avoiding probate or costs of guardianships or different things that can happen that are big expenses to your family or to yourself later on down the road if things aren't structured right. So I usually tell people, hey, it's a very little expense to save a lot of money down the road. But every time you do your estate planning, you're going to save money in the long run.
I love that. Just as a totally off the wall question, because I love throwing at least one of those in here. What if a person has decided they want to leave? You know, you see jokes like, you know, they left it to their cat or their dog or those kind of things. Is that actually something that a person could do?
Yeah, we do pet trusts all the time. It's very common, especially in today's age, because there's a lot of people that don't have kids, they have pets. I currently have a client that I'm working with, and that is her primary concern is animals. And so we've spent a lot of time going back and forth talking about places that she wants to help finance after she's gone because she believes in protecting wildlife. And so pet trusts are very common. And it's one thing you do actually want to consider. If you have pets, you need to think of who would take care of them. And you want to leave some amount of money for the pet so, you know, somebody isn't doing a charity thing for you. They're actually taking your pet and you've financed the cost of what you think will be for the rest of their life to make sure that that person isn't coming out money because you didn't plan anything out.
That makes a ton of sense. So We get all our paperwork together. We keep on top of it. Are there any additional kind of things that when a person starts or has or owns a business that they need to have in place that's in addition to what the normal, you know, employee type of person has?
Yeah, I would say the number one mistake I see is business owners. And it's specifically businesses that have multiple owners that are not family or not your spouse. Most people don't understand, like, you have to do specific estate planning for the business itself, not just you. So a lot of people go in, they'll get their personal estate planning done, but they never take any thought or consideration to the fact that your business is a separate person than you. And if you have a partner, there's a lot of things that you have to consider, like, okay, your partner could pass away. What's going to happen? You want to be in business with their children or their spouse? Number two is, well, what if they become disabled? Do you want to have to keep paying your co-business owner money in that scenario? Or do you want to put something in place? Or what if you guys decide you don't want to be in business with this person anymore because they don't work? They're just living off of you. Things like that. We refer to that type of the document that you need is what we call buy-sell agreement. So business owners all the time, partnerships especially, because none of them really want to deal with it. They don't want to focus on it, but they don't understand that when things go bad, for whatever reason, and we call them trigger events, when these trigger events happen, it can be a disaster for the business. So having all that put into place, and people go, well, I did that in my trust. No, well, that doesn't apply to your actual business. You got to have a buy-sell agreement between you and your partner or your co-owner.
Love that. So specifically for people that are in Texas and that want to work with you, how can they go deeper in the conversation, contact you, and work with you?
So my number is 214-250-4407. And that just gets to my office. If you, want to just check me out online, you can type in my name, taylorwillingham.com. That's one easy way to go check me out and kind of see what I can do and how I can help you.
I love that. Well, before I let you go, Taylor, talk specifically for a second to the person who has just been putting all that off. It just seems like too much, or annoying or whatever their reason is. Explain to them why that's something they should take it, and take care of now today.
So one of the best things you can do for yourself is having a clear outlook on what you want to happen at the end of something. We refer to a lot of times that as a goal. Think of estate planning as setting up your life goals of what you want to actually accomplish and happen down at the end of the road. And estate planning is that process. A lot of attorneys have started getting away from the term estate planning because it has a connotation of planning for when you die, but really it's life planning. What you're doing is figuring out at the end game, what is going to happen? How are we going to execute this? How do I make sure my family's protected, I'm protected, that everything kind of rolls out correctly? One of the things that I found the most, I would say, one of the most enjoyable processes of watching when people come in and get everything done is the relief and the clarity that they have of kind of what they need to do for their next steps. A lot of times I'm sending people to a financial advisor and telling them, you need a financial advisor that is actually going to do a financial plan for you. So you have a clear objective of your end game and how you're going to accomplish that. And when you sit down with that attorney and they're helping you through that process, that clarity, that vision really helps you now more than anything, because you know now the next steps moving forward.
And I would be totally remiss if I didn't at least mention your book, even if only just because I love the title of it. Your book, Why Should I Care? I'll Be Dead. I love that. Tell us just a little bit about your book before I let you go.
Yeah, that was my first book I wrote, and that focuses on the main philosophy of why people do what they do. And in a nutshell, in the book, I found over representing thousands of clients that the main reason why you should care, why you're doing what you're doing, isn't the assets that you're transferring necessarily. It is the relationships that you've created throughout your life and making sure that those are preserved and there are no issues for other people. And so why should you care? Well, you care every day. You care every day that you wake up and go to work to provide for your family. You care all the time. And so you should also care for the time that you won't be here and making sure it's all put together.
Love that. And it does look like you have several other books here. So you can check out Taylor Willingham also on Amazon for his books.
Thank you.
Yeah. Taylor, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thank you, Steve.
Estate planning. What does the end of your life look like? How is the way that you've lived your life, you've shared your message with the world, the plan that you had in your life and your business, how does that then translate out to the way you spend the end of your life? Are you going to work until the day you drop? I mean, I hope that if you are, you're doing things that are cool and that you really enjoy. But more importantly, I hope that you have the financial capability to be able to do all of the things that you want to do and that you really truly do enjoy, versus having to have to work until you're 80 or 90 years old because you can't afford to not work. And that's the difference between having that a plan for how you're living your life all the way through, so that when you get towards that end part of your life, you have all the choices to be able to do all of the things that you want to do at that part of your life too. That message that you've shared your whole life propels you through all of it and then gets you towards the end to the point where you can retire in style. You can have a great and amazing end of your life, that those latter days can be even better than the former days. And you can say about all the things you've done that you were glad you did, that your message propelled you through, that your plan allowed you to be now at that place where you're, and whatever your vision is, maybe it's sitting on the beach, sipping Mai Tais with the one that you love, or writing books, or sitting with your grandkids, or whatever it might be, that message propelled you through to enact the plan that made your life the wonderful, sweet thing that it was all the days of your life. You deserve that. And the world wants you to do that because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. We need you to be exactly the you that you are created to be, to have a message and then share it with us, to have a plan for all the days of your life and then live it and act it out all the days of your life, so that you are the thriving entrepreneur that you are. You already are. I know it. I see it in you. I celebrate you in advance of all of the cool things that you're going to do. And I hope that your message propels you through the plan all the way to the best days of your life still coming ahead, and that you live every single one of them as a thriving entrepreneur. See you again next time.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part
of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKid.com and schedule a time to talk today.
¿Qué tan poderoso es Cox Internet?
¿Tan poderoso para ver deportes en vivo realmente en vivo?
Sí.
¿Tan poderoso para compartir mi pantalla con menos retrasos?
Cuenta con eso.
¿Tan poderoso para jugar online sin poner en juego mi récord?
Claro que sí. Obtén velocidades gig con el poder de fibra de Cox, el proveedor de Internet más rápido del país. Internet provisto a través de la red híbrida de fibra coaxial de Cox. Las velocidades varían y no están garantizadas. Aplican los términos de Cox y otras restricciones. Basado en las velocidades de descarga promedio de las pruebas de velocidad de highspeedinternet.com en 2023.
There are lots of choices for Medicaid plans in Ohio right now. It's confusing. But luckily, this is an easy choice. CareSource. With CareSource, you get so much more than health insurance, like help going back to school, landing a job, and even finding a safe place to stay. Hey, over 1 million Ohio Medicaid members can't be wrong, so choose the plan Ohioans trust. CareSource. It's your Medicaid. It's your choice. Learn more at CareSource.com.